Welcome back to the Running Deep podcast. We are so glad that you are back with us. Today we have a special podcast for you. We are continuing on in our season about discipleship. And one important aspect of discipleship is helping the person that you are walking with understand what is the gospel, how do you share it, and how does it impact how I live my daily life. And I could not think of a better person to share this with you. So today we have a special recording of Gloria Gehring, who is a member of our church, a godly woman. She actually shared with us at our last summit that the whole summit was about sharing the gospel. It was called the Good News Summit. And if you missed the Good News Summit, we actually have some of the recordings available for you on our website to listen to all of the breakout sessions and the main sessions. But today, I just wanted to share this special breakout session that I was able to do with sweet Gloria and let you listen in on our conversation. Gloria is going to share with you some stories about how she shared her faith and help you understand what is a good way to share the gospel with those who you might come into contact with at the store or at a park or anywhere you go. So without further ado, enjoy this recording of Gloria Gehring. All right, everybody, thank you so much for coming out today, and thank you for joining us in this breakout session. We are in a session with Gloria Gehring and have been so excited for this. We talked, 3 months ago maybe about this, and I have been so excited since that day when she said she would do this, because if you don't know Gloria, you really need to get to know her. She is just a wonderful, sweet, godly saint in our church. And she has agreed to speak today. And Gloria is a wonderful gift to our church. And she has lived many years sharing the gospel with hundreds of people. She's also written a book. It's called God's Appointments. And this book goes through story after story after story of Gloria sharing the good news, the gospel, with people in unexpected encounters. Most of them are things like a flat tire or something like that, that God just brings appointments. And she takes the time to see people as lost soul, the gospel with them. So, Gloria, could I pray for you? And then we'll open up. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the things that we've already learned. Thank you for Gloria and the gift that she is to us. God, thank you for health today, that we are all able to be here. And I just pray for Gloria that you would give her strength and that you would give her the words that these people need to hear, and that we would be changed and that we would be encouraged to go out and share the good news of Christ with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Gloria, why don't you go ahead and get started with sharing just a little bit about yourself and some stories of how you've shared. And you can sit down or stand, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, I've been a Christian for 64 years now, and it's not boring. And I'm not done. A little bit more limited in some ways, but the Lord brings people, and if I can't go there, he brings them. So it works both ways. I thought to start with, I would share some examples from the book. It seems like when I have the privilege of actually leading someone to Christ, I get a high. I don't need drugs. I am up here. And until I take notes, I can't come down. So through the years, I've been taking notes, sometimes on a napkin, sometimes on a sheet of paper. But once I write notes, dates, names, basics, I'm fine. I go on and come down from my high and go about life. But God laid it on my heart to years ago and to start putting those notes together into a book. And I said, I can't. English is my worst subject. And I don't want to have a book that people say, well, this is so ridiculous to read. But God gave me some friends that were high school teachers of English. And I've had a lot of help to make the book readable. But I thought if I would read some of the examples to give you sort of an idea of how God has given me a way of doing this. And then I'll tell a little bit about myself later. But I'm going to start off in September of 1965. I trusted Christ in 1959. So I'm 6 years old in the Lord. And I worked as a nurse's aide in a general hospital. One day, a new patient named Leonard arrived. He and his friends had ran their car into a tree while trying to escape from police. His legs were broken in numerous places, and Leonard was in a full body cast. In intense pain, Leonard received morphine shots every 4 hours. The shots would ease his pain for the first hour. After that, Leonard cried pitifully until the next injection. We heard his cries, but there was nothing we could do. One of my tasks was to change his position in the bed to prevent pressure sores. Leonard was beside himself with pain, especially when he was moved. One night after work, I went to Leonard's bedside and whispered, Leonard, I can't give you pain medicine sooner than the doctors allow, but there is one way I can offer you help. The pain is easier to bear if someone shared it with you. I explained how he could invite Jesus to come into his life. God would forgive his sins and be his Lord and Savior and comforter. He would not be alone. He knows what you're going through and he cares. I added, referring to God's promise, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Leonard did just that. His lonely, helpless confrontation with pain was eased. The next time I came to work, fellow employees reported that Leonard's desperation was gone. Though he was still in pain, Leonard was not facing his pain alone anymore. At Thanksgiving, because of his full body cast, Leonard's parents removed a door from their home and brought it to the hospital. They used it to transport him in their station wagon, taking him home for the weekend. Months later, Leonard's family took him smiling in a wheelchair with only his legs still in a cast. September 1968, God had transferred me from that to the college campus where I was working with Hal and Patty Miller under Baptist Men Missions. And I heard Hal ask for help. He was starting this ministry at UNI in Marshalltown, and there were 7 campuses he wanted. And he asked me to come help him when I graduated from college. And so I asked my friends and my family, different ones, do you think I could work with college students? 100% said no. And I agreed. If you've ever argued with God, you know what that's like. But scripture that I claimed, faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. And I have learned through the years that one of the qualifications for being able to be successful is to know that you can't do it yourself. God does it. And you're the channel. And you just have to be willing. He does the work. So here I am then at UNI, September the 1968. College students often come to visit in the office of our campus house. We had a campus house In one conversation, Steve told me that he didn't believe that the Bible was accurate or that there was a God. When I asked Steve for an example, he explained that he had attended Sunday school for a time as a child, and he remembered the Bible story about Noah's Ark that held all those animals. It had always bothered him that later in Scripture, the same ark was carried by four men across the river. He did not think that that feat was possible. But there are two arks in the Bible, I said. One was a large barge-like boat capable of carrying the animals, as well as Noah and his family. The other, the Ark of the Tabernacle, was the size of a table with rings on the two sides for poles to be placed for the four priests who would carry it. Steve was surprised. You need to do more study before you make such a serious decision, I explained to him. You shouldn't be dismissing the Bible and God. I urged, having studied the Bible, I am confident that the author is indeed God, and he is revealing to us what he wants us to know. How to get to heaven is one of the things he wants us to know. Before the end of that school year, Steve had gained confidence in the Bible as the Word of God and trusted Christ as his lawyer. January 1974, I was talking with Marilyn, and I titled this, Can't Explain It. Marilyn, a University of Northern Iowa student, had regularly taught Sunday school. That's nice, isn't it? One day, as we visited, I asked, Marilyn, how do you explain to the children in your class the way they get to heaven? I can't, Marilyn replied. I'm not sure myself. Would you be interested in how I would explain it? Yes, she said. Opening our Bibles, we studied the first three chapters of the Gospel of John, where Jesus conversed with Nicodemus. Jesus told the ruler of the Jews, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. Then I asked Marilyn if she had ever been born again. I think so, she replied. Marilyn, you might be like me. I was religious, but not really born again. I remarked, yes, or she remarked, yes, that is where I am. She nodded thoughtfully. Marilyn decided that day to accept the Savior's offer of new life in Christ. She prayed with a warm smile. Marilyn exclaimed, it is different. I can feel it inside. Thank you for showing me the way to have Christ as my own Savior. Time passed. After 8 years, I met a fella, a pastor, and he had a radio program on KNWS and other stations too. We had an office. Oh, I got married. We had an office on East 4th Street. And James' small apartment adjacent to the Family Altar broadcast office. Our secretary, Ruth, was a good worker as well as a warm, sweet-spirited lady. One day when Ruth left work, as she crossed the street to her vehicle, she was hit by a car. The young driver had not seen her. I rode with Ruth in the ambulance to the hospital. In considerable pain, her concern was for the young man who had hit her. Ruth was afraid that the accident would be traumatic for him. James and I made an appointment with the young driver and his parents. He was distressed about hitting Ruth. And when I explained that Ruth wanted him to know that accidents happen and that she was not angry or bitter against him, he was surprised at both Ruth's attitude and ours. By explaining that Ruth was a Christian who loved the Lord and was praying for him, James and I were comfortable and able to. Ruth believed that the Bible is true when it encourages us to trust in God. Together we read a few verses. The Apostle Paul said, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Not everything is good, but God can make it turn out good. A few verses later, Paul explains that Jesus is personally concerned with us all the time. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. I explained that Jesus was interceding for him. And this situation could be God's bringing something good into his life. That night, the young man did trust Christ as his Savior. Ruth was very pleased to know that her accident had been used by God to bring about this young man's salvation. Moving from an apartment, we found a house. We asked for God's direction as to which house to live in. July 1977, moving day. Having outgrown our apartment, we prayed for God to lead us to the place where he wanted us to live. After weeks of looking and praying, we finally bought a home. Moving day brought aching muscles, but also an opportunity to witness for Christ. A man came to install our telephone. That's when you had the telephone on the wall with a cord. While he fixed the wiring, we talked to him about eternity and God's requirements for getting there. He was actually open to the conversation. When I shared one of our tracks, "What if I gave you $1 million" was the title of the track. He commented that he could sure use $1 million. We continued talking while he worked. I explained that God gives eternal life to those who accept his son. A priceless gift worth more than even $1 million. When James joined the conversation, he helped him answer many of his questions. When the installation was finished, I asked if he would have time for a prayer. He responded yes. So he came and he just prayed, accepting Christ as his personal Savior, relying on God's promise that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. A little surprised but willing, the man asked Jesus to be his Savior, to pay for his sins and give him eternal life. As the repairman left, he expressed deep thanks for showing him what he had been seeking for so long. We praise the Lord for the opportunity to talk with the former Jehovah's Witness. You never know who's open. No longer afraid, January 1978. The Lundstrom family presented a Christian musical concert at Traer, Iowa. James and I volunteered to be counselors. Halfway through the presentation, our baby Angela became restless, adding her voice to the music. I decided it would be wise to leave the auditorium. In the hall, I saw a young man sweeping up broken glass. I had noticed the same fellow earlier with a group of young men laughing and playing. When a couple of ushers had asked them to be more orderly, the fellows made light of the meeting. One of the friends jokingly had asked this young man if he shouldn't become a Christian. "Why don't you become a Christian?" they said. And he said, "I'm afraid." Because of having overheard that bit of conversation, I had prayed that he would come to know the Lord that evening. Striking up a conversation with him, he said that he was helping with his janitorial work in the building that evening. He had recently lost a parent and was quite concerned about death. When I asked if he knew whether or not he would go to heaven when he died, he quietly answered that he did not. "Would you like to know how you could?" "Yes," was his reply. We read verses in the Gospel of John, including, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life." Then he bowed his head and he prayed, asking Jesus to be his Savior. As I returned with my daughter to the auditorium. The speaker was just beginning the invitation. The young man entered and went down the aisle to take a public stand, letting all know of his personal desire to accept Christ as his Lord and Savior. On the porch, October 1978. It's hard to choose which ones to share with you guys. So I tried to make a variety. Lisa, one of the girls who played with my daughter Angela, had been in the hospital for an academic. Yeah. Saturday morning, I awoke with a burden to visit 12-year-old Lisa. The day was fully scheduled, but the burden was strong. James was recording his regular Family Altar broadcast radio program in our home and needed the house to be quiet. Preparing a plant gift, I left a note for James, put Angela and the Bible in her stroller, and walked the several blocks to Lisa's house. She answered the door, delighted to see us, and joined us on the porch. After we had talked for a while about her operation, I asked Lisa for certain whether or not she would go to heaven when she died. She quietly answered, "No." "Let me show you in the Bible," I suggested, "how you can know today you're ready to go to heaven." Getting my Bible out, I sat with Lisa on the stairs and began showing her from the scriptures how she could become a child of God. At that point, Angela became fascinated by the white puppy next door. While Mommy was occupied, she went visiting, walking fearlessly up to pet the nice doggy. Praise the Lord, the puppy was friendly. But a 17-month-old toddler needs supervision. In the process of showing Lisa how to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior, I retrieved Angela from the doggy several times. When I asked Lisa if she was ready to pray and have Jesus come into her life, forgive her sins, and give her everlasting life, she replied, "Yes." There on her porch steps, she requesting that God would give her everlasting life. She received Jesus as her Savior. And as the Bible clearly teaches in John 3:1-21, was born again. Jesus answered him, "Truly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Soon after we had prayed, Lisa's mother drove up. I visited with her, explaining what Lisa had just done, showing her the verses in the Bible that I showed Lisa. She was friendly and asked many questions. Just as I was ready to leave and perfectly timed, as God's appointments are, James came to pick us up to go to the office. We rejoiced together that because of Angela's making friends in the neighborhood, Lisa was now prepared for eternity. I don't know how many of these to share. The time goes so quickly.
That one's especially encouraging to me because I think that as you share it's not a matter of age or demographic. All these stories are different age groups. And that one particularly, as I read it in your book, I was encouraged. One, that you saw a child as a lost soul. Sometimes we forget that. And two, that you shared that you were a mom, you still are a mom, but you were a mom of a young child, and you didn't see that as a barrier. And I can just envision you going to get your little child and bring the child back as you continue to share the gospel. And that's encouragement, because sometimes we can see our barriers and think, oh, I'll wait to share the gospel until my kids grow up, or until I don't have this crazy job, or whatever that might be. Yeah. So those stories are so encouraging, and you have so many more in this book. And one particular that I really love is the story about the life agent that came knocking on your door, and he wanted to sell them life insurance, and they were so kind and listened to him. And then at the end, she said, "Have you ever heard of eternal life insurance?" And she got him. Glory, I would love to hear from you just how, one, how you came to know the Lord, and two, how when you meet someone, it seems so natural in these stories. It just seems like you're just like, oh, well, let me share how someone can comfort you. But could you share with us a little bit of how you go about doing that? And you gave us all these great tracks that you use, but maybe share a little bit about how you came to know the Lord, and also just how do you go about sharing with someone?
I trusted Christ as my Savior September the
20th, 1959. Wow. Praise God.
So I was 15 at the time, which means I'll be 80 next month. And it's not been boring. When I trusted Christ, I was religious. I knew about Jesus, and I loved him. I loved God. But I was religious, not born again. And the day I came to know Christ as my Savior, it was a big change from being religious and being born again. And it was day and night. And when I trusted Christ, I was afraid to make that decision because I didn't think I could live that life in success. But it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, do you want to leave the way you came, or do you want to make that decision? And sitting in my chair, I made that decision. And it was like bubbles. And I went home smiling, and that's the night I got my smile. I didn't have it before that. My mom said, what in the world happened to you today, Gloria? And I said, Mom, I got saved. I came to know Jesus as my Savior. And she says, well, praise the Lord. I did that 2 years ago, and I didn't know how to explain it to you, and I've been hoping that somehow you'd figure it out. Well, God figured it out. And so one of the things I struggled with was he did that much for me. He could love me. I didn't even like me, and he could love me. I felt so grateful. And Lord, what could I do to express my appreciation for you? It was like he laid it on my heart. Gloria, yes, I do love you, but I love others too, and they don't know it. If you want to do something for me, tell them. But I don't know how. And I can stand up here today. The Lord taught me many things through the years. I wish I knew earlier some of the things I've learned, but you don't start out knowing everything. You just do it. Make your mistakes and keep going. Don't give up. So I really believe that one of the qualifications to be successful as a soul winner is not only praying and asking the Lord for the ability. There are a lot of spiritual gifts. My choice was that God would give me the ability to tell people, and that he would be the one that would actually do the miracle, not me. But something else besides prayer is qualified for a Christian to become a soul winner, and that's tears. My son Josiah told me one day, he said, Mom, I understand why you talk to people about Jesus so often. I says, well, why? He says, because you believe in hell. I don't like hell. I'm glad I'm not going there. But people are really, literally going to end up in hell unless they have the same experience that Jesus promised to give us by receiving him, believing in, not just about, but believing in and on him. And I did. I remember the first time I tried to witness, I asked my girlfriend if she had ever been saved, you know, quote, saved. And she says, yeah. I said, really? She says, yeah, I fell one day and put my arm through a storm door and somebody came by and saved me and took me to the hospital. I don't know what to say. But that wasn't what I meant. That was one of the nights I was crying about it. You know, how do you explain this so people understand what you're talking about? The first experience is so clear in my mind. I had never successfully led anybody to the Lord. And I was a counselor at camp. I'd never been a camper, but I was a counselor at camp. And one of the girls in my cabin was moved, and she was asking questions. And I sat and talked to her, and she prayed me to her Savior. And I saw, for the first time in my life, the miracle of the new birth take place. And it was so exciting. I felt like I was like a nurse standing beside a doctor talking or working with a patient. I'd hand him the tools he asked for, and he did it. The Holy Spirit, the doctor. And we're just there sort of as a side piece to channel through. And I thought, I like to do this more often. I picked up a book. It was called, it was about a Cuban boy, 9 years old, that had been a Christian, and he was dying. He was sick. And his prayer was that before he died, he would have the opportunity to influence as many people for Jesus Christ in heaven as he was old. And at his funeral, there were 9 angels, doctors, nurses, and caregivers that got up and gave testimony that they would see that young man again because he had shared. And that book moved me, and I thought, could I lead as many people to the Lord as I am years old? That's impossible. I think I was probably about 19 at the time, and that sounded like a lot. And I didn't think that would be possible. I thought, but God would do it if I was willing. I said, well, Lord, if you're willing, I would like that very much. You know what? God did. Well, and I wasn't ready to stop at that point. I thought, this is too much fun. So, one of the things I have come up with that I think is very important is that I'm a team. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the church, other Christian believers, and myself. Now, I don't play basketball, but I do know that you're supposed to play as a team instead of just an individual player, hog the ball. If you don't follow the coach, my coach is the Holy Spirit. And you know, one of my problems is I have problems with directional. I get where I'm going, but not necessarily by the best route. And when they invented the GPS for the car, I am happy about that. I really save a lot of gas and time. But I also have a Holy Spirit guide, my Holy Spirit GPS. And he gives direction. And what helps the most is I ask him to direct my steps. I might have plans for the day, but I want his plans, not mine. And he will actually say, turn left. And sometimes you miss the turn. And he says, okay, redirect. But the Holy Spirit, I find, is already working into hearts and lives of people to bring them to salvation. He is doing that. There are people out there, lots of people out there, that the Holy Spirit is already working on. And the thrill of it is, he can manage me to position me in a spot and take them and manage them into a spot where we come together. So when I meet people or past people or whatever, that it could be an appointment. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But when it is, it's just a normal thing, normal conversation. Somehow there's something that comes to my mind as a point of interest, you know, and I use that to fish, put bait on the line, see how the response is. And if there's no response, no, that's okay. I don't produce a response. The Holy Spirit does. But if this is one of the Holy Spirit-directed opportunities, see how far it goes. Sometimes we plant a seed. That's okay. That's important. Sometimes we water a seed. That's okay. That's necessary. But sometimes we get to harvest. And one of the burdens on my heart is, yeah, I don't mind watering seeds. Those are beautiful. But to harvest, there are a lot of people I talk to that they're okay with handing out a tract or saying this or that, but they're afraid to go for the harvest. And all you have to do is see whether they're ripe or not. If they're ripe, don't hesitate. Go ahead and see how far you can go and see what the Lord has in mind. If they are, they are. If they are not, you can't make them. I've had a lot of people, everybody I talk to don't come to know the Lord at that time. I just talk to a lot of people.
So what's a question that you would ask to close that loop? Because I think sometimes for me, it's, you know, I can share, but then I don't know exactly how do you decide? Maybe they're ready to make a decision. What's something that you might say to them to help them, like prompt them to close that loop or make that decision?
That will depend on the situation, but a lot of times I will get to the point where in a meeting, someone, you're talking to someone, I say, you know, I'm really excited about something. Can I share that with you? And usually people, okay. I found out something very neat. In the Bible, a man named Nicodemus came and asked Jesus how to get to heaven. And Jesus answered him. And his answer is actually recorded in the Bible in John chapter 3. And you probably have heard some of this conversation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And a lot of people have heard that. Can I show you what his answer was? And I usually have a Bible with me in my purse, a smaller one. Usually fine print. One by the front door, one in my car. Wherever I might be, I've got one stashed because this is what they will respond to. When you open the Bible and show them what Jesus says, who cares what Gloria thinks? Everybody's got their own opinion, their own idea. But who has more authority and credibility than Jesus? And as you go through it and point out, and I like them to see the same Bible I am, so it's not a different translation because you don't want, well, it's a different word. And I just point at Jesus, Nicodemus, born again, and go through it. And literally, it's sort of like click, click. It's sort of like a light bulb going on. Oh, yeah, that's what it says. And they'll ask a question. And this track that you have there with you, it sometimes you don't have a whole long time to tell everybody the whole story. You can say it real. It's as easy as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner, believe in Christ as your Savior, and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's the way of sharing salvation. But most people today are ignorant of a lot of spiritual things. They don't have a foundation. And so this track is a foundation that I like to use if I have the time and opportunity to really go through it. And it takes the quotes of Jesus and then it explains it. And you can't take for granted that people know things. Sometimes you'll say, well, you know, when Moses was going through the wilderness, you know, and all that, remember that? Oh, yeah.
No, they don't.
You can't take it for granted, they do. So it's doing it as the Lord leads.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Gloria, for sharing. And I could listen to you for hours, share your wisdom with us. And we have about 2 more minutes, and I do want to share that Gloria has just a few copies of her book in the back. If you want to purchase them, they're, how much are they?
As the Lord leads.
17, is that?
Anywhere around 20.
20, okay.
I had 1,400 of them.
And that's all that you have left, right?
This is all I have left. If you don't take one of these, that's how you can order one, that slip that says.
Yes.
And I'm not going to have them piled up in my entryway again.
Yeah. but you have also offered, if anyone would like to meet up with you and learn from you, how would they be able to do that?
Either calling the church and finding out my phone number or directly making contact with me. Yeah. My webpage is on there. I love mentoring because I can't do as much as I would like to anymore. I have some limitations. But if you would come to my house and sit with me, I would love to help you at whatever stage you are. And also, if you happen to have a friend or family member that's not saved and you want to bring them along, and ask me to show how I would do it. I'd be glad to do that too. That does work.
Yeah. Yeah, you've had many examples of that too, which are fun stories to hear. But Glory will be here for a little bit, answering any questions that you guys might have. Thank you again, Gloria. And I would love to just pray for us, close us out, and we will head back into the main session at 10:45, so you have about 5 minutes before we get started for the main session. God, we thank you for the work that you have done through Gloria. It really is astounding, and the stories that continue to come. She didn't even talk about the many times that she was at the fair leading hundreds of people to the Lord. God, the same Holy Spirit that is at work in Gloria is at work in all of our lives. God, would we use that power of the Holy Spirit to go where you have called us to go and share with those around us, that we wouldn't be afraid, that we would have the power given to us by the Holy Spirit to plant those seeds, to water the seeds, and to harvest the fruit. God, would you use each one and every one of us for your glory and honor, and we are so excited to see the fruit that comes from us just walking in obedience and sharing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.